Very grateful that you're with us today. Because we're going to have a meeting right after our service today, I think I'll just get right into the text. We're going to be in the book of Hebrews, of course, as we continue with our series. One of the things that we've noticed in this wonderful book is the focus of staying close to Jesus. Today I'm going to preach a little different sermon in the sense that I'm going to be quite textual. Basically, I'm going to be in chapters 2, 3, and 4 of the book of Hebrews. There will be some PowerPoint, but you can follow in your own Bible if you wish. Whoever writes the book of Hebrews is actually writing to second-generation Christians. People that are receiving this letter, they are probably parents or forefathers before them, started the church, and they've continued in the church. And now this second generation of Christians become Christians, and they became Christians in a unique way. In chapter 2, it's a pretty interesting passage of Scripture dealing with how they started off in the faith. Now, we know chapters 2, verses 1 through 4 pretty well, but I prefer to read it this way, to read Hebrews chapter 2 and read verses 3 and 4 first, and then read verses 1 and 2. Because 3 and 4 say this: "How shall we escape if we ignore so great a salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and miraculous gifts, and by the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will." Now, if that just went over our head, it's a good thing to remember what they're actually saying. We became Christians because we saw miracles and wonders that cannot be explained other than the fact that it was Jesus. Therefore, notice now chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. We must pay the most careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. For since the message spoken through angels was binding and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? Now, that might sound like pretty tough talk, and I think it is pretty tough talk. But when we make our way through Hebrews, we find out more of their story. And I love reading the scriptures where we get the scriptural understanding, we get the theme, we get the meaning, the text is great. But when we read the scriptures, we also get personalities coming out, and we get the mood of what's happening. And in chapter 10, here's how these Christians started off. Chapter 10, beginning in verse 32. Now, as you're turning there, if you want to follow on screen, that's fine. Do you remember several weeks ago we told the story of the prophet Elijah, who stared down 850 prophets of Baal and really stood up strong and became a mighty and powerful prophet? And if you're like me, or if I'm like you, I sometimes look at these people and go, your faith is just insanely amazing that you can do what you do and say what you say in front of all kinds of odds against you, and you're there. You've got such a robust faith. I mean, here's Elijah, the prince of prophets. But even after this monumental faith experience, he's exhausted, and he's wore down, and he's wore out, and he says to God, "I'm done. I just want to die." And you remember how God had to bring him back to health again, and bring him back to health again, and bring him back to health again, and then he's ready to go. And it's true, even in our own life, that maybe some of us, we've had times when we're so close to Jesus that we feel like we can just touch him. And we know that we're going to feel that way forever. And then life happens. And we wonder, what's happened? Why am I not as close to Jesus? He hasn't changed any. What's happening with me? And this is what the Hebrew writer is stressing. It's a book for all of us. And just to remind ourselves that these Christians who are exhausted started off in a profound way. And we find this in actually chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 32, he says this. Remember those earlier days after you received the light, became Christians, when you endured in a great conflict full of suffering? Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side with those who were so treated. You suffered along with those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and lasting possessions. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. And then he goes on and says a few more things. And then in verse 38, he says, by my righteous one will live by faith. And I take no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. They had a miraculous beginning. And then they just got exhausted and they started falling back. But I wonder if you also noticed in chapter 2, where it talks about angels. Now, if you were with us last week, all of chapter 1 talks about the angels. And then in verse 2 of chapter 2, it says, for since the message spoken through angels was binding. This is not the only time in the Bible where it talks about how the angels brought the old law into fruition. Now, you may remember the story, how one day God calls Moses and Joshua to go up to the mountain and talk to the Lord, or let the Lord speak with them. And as they get up toward the mountain, Moses stops Joshua and says, Joshua, you stay here. In fact, you cover yourself in the rock because I'm going up to see God. And we know no one sees God face to face and lives. Moses went up to the very top, and God says, my glory is going to pass by. You can't contain all of me, but just my trailings, if you will, just my essence will come by. And it's so, so powerful. And then God gives Moses the Ten Commandments. Well, how did he do it? And most of the prophets believe that it was the angels who took those Ten Commandments and brought them to Moses. He's not the only one who says this. Paul talks about this in Galatians 3 in verse 19, where it says this. The law was given through angels and entrusted to the mediator, Moses. And he's not the only one who said that. Stephen also talks about this. You may remember when Stephen was being persecuted in Acts 7:53, he says this. You who have received the law that was given through angels and yet have not obeyed it. So what's the point about angels in Hebrews chapter 1? It's this. When you're exhausted and you're worn out, there may be a tendency to want to see an angel face to face. Begins by saying, angels are servants. And then he says this, and I think it's profound. Angels are ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. They're servants of God. And they're servants who are sent to serve and enable and help us. And here's the point. Angels are not going to give up on us. And if angels are not going to give up on us. How can we give up? How can we give up? If God is sending us angels, those who inherit salvation, they're not going to give up on us. And the law of Moses was great. But Moses and the law were pointing to Jesus. If there's one thought in the book of Hebrews, it's this: for exhausted Christians, keep your thoughts, keep your mind, keep your spiritual heart on Jesus. He's never going to give up on us. So even when we're exhausted, and even in our honesty when we say, God, I don't know if I can do this, God's response is, okay, I'm with you. Rest. We'll look at that in just a minute. So if the remainder of our time, which is not long, I just want to notice focusing on Jesus. So if you want to follow in your scriptures, I'm going to notice in chapter 2, verses 14 through 18. Chapter 2, 14 through 18. He talks about us. He says, since the children have flesh and blood, that's us, Jesus too shared in their, our, humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power over death, Satan. For surely it's not angels he helps, but Abraham's descendants, us. For this reason, he had to be made like his brothers and sisters, us, in every way, in order that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in service to God, and that he might make atonement for the sins of the people, because he himself suffered when he was tempted. He is able to help those who are being tempted. Now, later in Hebrews, he's going to remind us that Jesus was tempted in every way like us, and yet he did not sin. Again, the reminder is Jesus whispering to us, or maybe even sometimes sternly, when we're exhausted and wore out, when he comes to us and he speaks directly to us and he said, don't you even think about giving up on me, Don Smith, because I'm never going to give up on you. And even when you think you've gone over the edge, you're not. I'm with you. Every step of the way, I'm with you. Did you know that I knew you before you were born? Did you know that I knew your parents? Did you know that God gave me the understanding of when you would live? Do you know that your DNA was long thought about even from the beginning of time? And if God is going to be thinking about you when he created Adam and Eve thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of years ago, if he thought about you even back then, do you think he's ever going to forget you today? You've always been in his mind. And he's encouraged each one of us to come to him and to know him. And yes, he knows we get tired. And that's when his arms are around us even more firmly, even when we sometimes don't feel him. And so if we want scriptural understanding, it'd say angels are great, but angels would not understand what in the world a human being would be doing by trying to worship an angel. Angels would never understand why human beings would even be interested in figuring everything out about angels when they themselves want all of us to know Jesus. Angels serve people because they love and were created by God. None of them are going to give up on us. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the angels, they're not giving up on us. And when Moses wrote the law, he wrote it thinking about the time when Christ would come. Our prophets and our forefathers did not live for themselves, but they lived for the next generation. And so can we say, we will not live for ourselves, but we will live for the next generation and the generations that follow. We understand exhaustion, but never to give up on Jesus. In chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, he's giving us insights into people who are powerful and yet a reminder of staying close to Jesus. Chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers and sisters who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus. We know chapter 12, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your thoughts on Jesus, whom we acknowledge as our apostle, the one who was sent for us, and high priest. He was faithful to the one who appointed him. Just as Moses was faithful in all God's house, Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses. Just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. That means even our lives. He is the builder of even our lives. Verse 5, Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, bearing witness to what would be spoken by God in the future. But Christ is faithful as the Son over God's house, God's family. And then notice this. And we are God's house, if indeed we hold firmly to our confidence and the hope in which we glory. And then chapter 4, and I just give a little bit of a prelogue to this. Do you remember in the Old Testament? I don't know what your experience was like, if you had Sunday school experience and so forth. One of my wonderful Bible teachers when I was growing up was a woman by the name of Grace Porter. And she was remarkable. And she was able to present the Old Testament stories in a way that didn't bore any of us. In fact, we kind of felt like we were part of the story. And so when Bible class would end, there'd be a bell that would ring and we'd go, oh, she was just getting into the story. It was just great. And so we'd come back next week and it was always, here's what the children of Israel were like. And she had the flannel board, that's how old I am, and other things where you just kind of feel like you're going with Moses and the children of Israel. But the thing that always amazed me was, one of the kids that were in class with me just finally kind of blurted out to Grace, did these people ever stop moving? They just kept wandering. They just kept moving and moving and moving. And you remember in the Old Testament, you know, God said you're going to have a movable church, like a tabernacle. You just fold it up and carry it with you. And then when you get to the next place, you stay there for a while, and then you fold it up and away you go, fold it up. They never stopped. They never rested. They were just on the go all the time. Chapter 4, the Hebrew writer says that in Jesus, we can rest. He uses the word rest 10 times. For people like myself who are slow, I sometimes have to hear it 10 times. What did God say to Elijah when he was exhausted? Rest. What do you do when you don't know how to think anymore? What do you do when you're so physically exhausted you want to sleep, but sleep doesn't come? What do you do when you're so emotionally exhausted that you're drowning in all kinds of weird emotions that you wouldn't normally have? What do you do when you're so brain tired, intellectually tired, that your mind is like a tape recorder and it won't shut off? What do you do when you're so spiritually tired that you just need to pray, but no prayers come? What do? You rest, knowing that Christ is right beside you, never leaving you for a moment. And in your exhaustion and maybe frustration, you blurt it out. Jesus is right there as we blurt it out. And he wants us to know that even when we don't feel his presence, he hasn't left us for a moment. He never has. He never will. They rested. Israel lived for the next generation, and they paid the price of never being able to rest, so that when Christ came, we can rest in him. So just a couple of verses, 14 through 16, in my mind is a beautiful passage, and then we'll stop for today. Verse 14 says, "Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has ascended into heaven, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. For we do not have a high priest who was unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God, his throne of grace, with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need and time of exhaustion." I'm enjoying this book of Hebrews because it speaks to us today in such a fast-paced life where we can rest, and we'll continue with this next week. Let's pray. Father, you know the hearts of each person today. And maybe we have people in our audience today who feel that they're the only one who feels a certain way. But we trust you. We know you. We know that you know us, each one of us, better than we know ourselves. And that you walk with us and beside us. That your Holy Spirit is always with us. That you are with us. That Jesus is with us. May we continue to keep our thoughts and focus on you as we live in this world, to bring a witness, to be a person who loves you by reaching out to others. And through Christ we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's sermon. The Beamsville Church of Christ meets Sunday mornings at 4900 John Street, Beamsville, Ontario. We have classes for all ages at 9:30, and the worship service begins at 10:30. You can subscribe to podcasts through Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music Store, or your favorite podcast app. Just search for Beamsville. All our past sermons and more information about our congregation are available at beamsvillechurchofchrist.ca.